Welcome. This is EconoDay's Economist Roundtable. Jeremy Hawkins and Mark Pender are with me today. Jeremy covers Europe, Mark the U.S. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. Last week, the ECB announced some changes to its asset purchase program. Along with the Fed this week, let's not also forget that the Bank of England and the Swiss National Bank will publish its fourth quarter monetary assessment. And the Bank of Japan meets next week. And that pretty much wraps it up for the year. But moving right along, this week we finally have the FOMC announcement tomorrow, along with Fed Chair Janet Yellen's press conference. A lot has happened since the last FOMC meeting, which was held in the first week of November. Mark, the Fed.
Yes, well, a lot has happened, namely the November 8 election, which has introduced a...
That was sort of like an understatement.
Yes, it was. But it's good to review it, because what it does is it tells us that we can expect what looks to be aggressive fiscal stimulus. And this at a time, stepping on the accelerator, if you would, this at the time when the Fed, in its own parlance, was easing off the accelerator, or you could just look at it as tapping the brakes, as that's what they intend to do, they're very likely to do. Tomorrow, with Wednesday's announcement, the meeting begins today. But based on their own goals, they've already met their employment goal with the 4.6% unemployment rate, and this rate has been at 5% or below for the last year, which is within their range. So, what's not in their range but inching forward is inflation. But given the size of the rate hikes, a quarter point's expected, this would only be the second one of the cycle. But there's going to have to be a connection. There's going to have to be a reconciliation between what their long-term goals are and how that is going to fit in with the administration's long-term goals. It's difficult to imagine you can have fiscal policy accelerating sharply in one direction and monetary policy going in the other direction. I don't think that that's going to last too long. They have to build definitions. They have to build ideas. They have to build their paradigm, as it were, or rebuild it. And tomorrow is going to be a press conference for Janet Yellen, which should be very, very interesting to see if they're going to start bridging this gap, and they're going to have to reset their goals, and they're going to have to change the way they present the material. And it's a forced position on them. Not immediately, of course, because they still don't know. We still don't know what these fiscal plans are going to, the tangible results of these things will be. But there has to be an abstraction, a change on that level, I think.
So, Mark, what chance do you think there might be, as you say, not now, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about inflation targets and whether they perhaps even did more damage than good during the recovery from recession and so on. And we're starting to see some central banks, you're making at least some slight adjustments to those targets. And the Bank of Canada's got some new core rates. The Bank of England certainly intimated that it's going to let inflation go above 2% before it really starts worrying about it. So what kind of chance do you think there might be that the Fed's going to do something with their inflation target?
Well, exactly, Jeremy. That would be a key area for them to begin recalibrating their outlook and maybe stepping back from their from the prior regime. And inflation is the way to do it. So if they raise that inflation target and fiscal spending, all points to higher inflation, especially the Fed has met its goal here with the employment. Labor market is very tight, and it looks like we're going to get fiscal stimulus right at a time when finding the right workers for the job has been very difficult. So in theory, this presents quite an inflationary flashpoint. And for them to loosen up their inflation goals, I don't know if they can do that you know, I mean, Fed speak is not that nimble and not that quick. So it would be interesting. We're to see how if they can turn on a dime or if they're going to do the slow steamboat move. But I think that that's, I think inflation is probably a good way to start.
Okay. Well, I suppose on the same sort of vein, looking at what's going on in Europe, ECB meeting last week, and we kind of got what we expected, but it's going to be certainly a feature, I think, as we go through next year. We've seen a potential shift in the way policy operates. That, of course, concerns tapering, or indeed, if you believe Mr. Draghi, not tapering. As folks may have seen, the key announcement last week really was that the ECB's decided to extend its quantitative easing. Markets had been generally anticipating an extension of about 6 months, but really keeping the quantity of assets being purchased fixed at the existing 80 billion a month. What happened in the end is that the 80 billion will continue through to the end of March, but then it'll be chopped down by 20 billion to 60 billion a month, but through the remainder of the year. So in terms of the actual amount of new liquidity being provided by the ECB, we're now up to 540 billion during the course of what's upcoming versus the 480 billion previously expected. So in many ways, it suggests that policy over here, or at least in continental Europe, is going to remain very accommodative. Mr. Draghi maintains that the cut is not itself tapering, but to all intents and purposes, unless he's going to start increasing the amount they're injecting in thereafter. It's the first cut of presumably several until such time as you get down to zero. So to all intents and purposes, the tapering process has started. And that, of course, one of the interesting things out of this, I think, now is what perhaps it's going to mean for euro dollar. You know, is it going to be the case that as we start going through next year and we begin to see the ECB reducing its asset purchases, will the markets then decide that, well, accommodative policy it may be, but it's not as accommodative as it was. So perhaps that will finally start to put some kind of upside potential again back into the euro, although certainly it looks as if that's still some while away. Bank of England this week.
Japan.
As Anne mentioned, yep.
Jeremy?
Yep.
The euro. Once again, people are predicting that it will be €1 to $1. Do you really foresee that?
I suppose you've got to say it's possible because, you know, when you're trading not that much above the 105 level, it doesn't really have that far to go. I think just going back to this tapering issue, I was looking at when the Fed announced that it was going to finally start tapering. So we're talking, back end of 2014. It took a while for the dollar to really start to respond that. You're talking the best part, another half a year or so before the dollar started to move higher on the back of that policy shift. So unless something really happens and we do indeed see, the Fed tightening, a looser fiscal policy, as Mark was talking about, in Europe, really not a great deal has changed. The ECB may be starting tapering, but not really until the second half or getting on for the second half of next year. Interest rates are as low as you can get across virtually all of Europe. So would you actually want to buy the euro? So I think I've got to be honest and say that at some point, it wouldn't surprise you if we do see parity. Would it stay down there? I guess would be no. But at this stage, we're too close, I think, to really rule it out altogether.
Do you see any loosening in the stability pact? Do you see any fiscal spending going forward?
I don't see a great deal of fiscal spending, but I mean, with regards to the fiscal stability pact, the fiscal and growth pact, there's already been a fair amount of erosion around the edges of that. Over the course of the last couple of years or so, we've seen a number of the southern Mediterranean countries being allowed to effectively overshoot their targets. And indeed, we can put France in that as well, simply because the economies were so weak that the last thing they needed was a fresh round of fiscal belt tightening. So I don't think we're going to see aggressive fiscal loosening across Europe next year. But yes, for those countries which are still struggling, there'd definitely be a nod, I think, from the EU Commission to the effect that, well, look, we'll let you get away with it for the time being, but you need to sort your house out at some point in the future.
Onward to England.
Okay, I'll round off quite quickly with Bank of England and SNB. B of E, then, really there's nothing much to say about that. No one's expecting any fresh moves out of the Bank of England this week. The growth numbers are okay and inflation's still low, but inflation's going up next year and growth probably coming down next year. So the real question mark is going to be what kind of balance of policy the Bank of England wants to introduce in 2017. At this stage, it looks as if any move on rates is going to be up, but quite likely not for some while. Similarly, with the Swiss National Bank, they're in a bit of a mixed position at the moment. Third quarter growth was horrible. Indeed, it dried up altogether, and domestic demand was lousy. But early evidence of the fourth quarter has shown potentially a decent rebound. But of course, for them, it all comes down to the exchange rate. And we've got Euro-Swiss trading around about 107.50 at the moment, and that, I suspect, is close to their threshold of pain. So wouldn't surprise me to see more intervention coming out of the Swiss National Bank if indeed the euro starts moving towards dollar parity, as we talked about. Otherwise, yes, it's possible it could come out and ease. But as far as this week's concerned, I think it's steady as she goes for both central banks.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Mark. To be continued next week.